podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Scott eVest, technology-enabled clothing to carry all of your gadgets. Visit scottevest.com/twit now through February 24th to save 40% off 14 of their bestsellers. That's scottevest.com/twit. Use the code TWIT13 at checkout. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Android products are worth at gazelle.com. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 270,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Welcome once again to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 149, recorded on Tuesday, February 18th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Gina Trapani.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Jason.
Thank you. I'm feeling better. My voice is returned to normal.
It is good to see you, and quite the relief that you are back.
I watched most of last week's show. You did a fantastic job. I heard there were some edits.
By the seat of our pants. It was fun. No, it was a good time. We had a good time.
We survived. It's good to mix it up a little bit.
I felt alive. I got out of here, and I was like, I don't want to go. I was wired. I don't want to go to bed.
I'm staying up. I'm going out drinking tonight. This week, we are super stoked to welcome back J.R. Rayfield, Computer World contributing editor, author, of course, of the Android Power blog, and return guest for, I believe, the third time now. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hello, hello. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. You just always bring the awesome to the show. What can we say? We're going to abuse you by bringing you on every single episode.
Let's not use the abuse word. Remember, we talked about this.
Oh, okay. I'm not supposed to say that out loud.
Yes, exactly.
It's not abuse if I'm okay with it, so we're all good.
Even that, we want to minimize that kind of verbiage if we can. So.
All right.
This show will never air.
Right. Yes, apparently I'm going to be doing some post-production work on this episode. This week we have a lot to talk about. We'll be discussing the Android upgrade standard, glass etiquette straight from the mouth of Google, gearing up, of course, for Mobile World Congress, which is just next week in Barcelona, and more. So how about we do it? Let's talk about some news.
It's time to rethink the Android upgrade standards, says JR in one of his latest posts on the Android Power blog. I really, really love this story. JR, you wrote about how the 18-month upgrade policy hasn't, you know, really been official. Some manufacturers have adopted it, others haven't. But, you know, you pointed out a problem with that 18-month upgrade promise and proposed something better and different. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, the whole funny thing about that 18-month standard, it first came up back in 2011 when Google announced this Android Update Alliance at the I.O. convention that year. And we never heard another word, really, about the Android Update Alliance after that, which is kind of weird. But somehow this 18-month window stuck around as sort of this unspoken standard for the minimum amount of time that a manufacturer should support an Android phone or tablet. Nowadays, it really only comes up when it's serving as a justification for a company to drop support for a phone that's maybe 18, 19 months old, but not 2 years old. We saw it, and you know, there may or may not be other reasons behind it, but it was the official reason that Google itself gave for not delivering KitKat to the Galaxy Nexus, and we've seen it come up a lot of other times. But on the other side of the coin, we still see manufacturers dropping support for phones that aren't 18 months old. So it's kind of this one-sided standard that isn't really consumer-centric in any way. And, you know, my thought here, that aside, is that these days most people, at least here in the U.S., sign a two-year contract when they buy a phone. And if you're not signing a two-year contract, you're buying an unlocked off-contract device. You're spending $400, $500, $600, maybe more on it. Either way, 2 years is a much more reasonable amount of time that you can say the manufacturer should be supporting your phone, particularly when we're talking about these high-end flagship kind of devices. And that's what I was proposing there. And not even to say that Google itself should or would come forward and make a standard, requirement for Android manufacturers, because we've seen Google probably can't or won't do that. I mean, based on all the evidence from over the years. But, you know, my proposal instead was that, like what Motorola has done with showing that Android upgrades can be quick and that they're going to be the ones who deliver them quickly, that someone should come forward and say, you know what, we're going to be the ones who support phones for a full 2 years. You're buying this, you're signing a contract, or you're paying $600. We're going to cover you for 2 years. You're going to get all the major upgrades. And interestingly, a day after the story was published, we heard from HTC and they came forward and did that, which you know, was a great first step, not a complete solution, but, you know, it was great to see some progress there.
Well, yeah, and that's actually our next story, which I thought was fascinating following this, that HTC stepped up to the plate and said, and of all places announced during an AMA on Reddit, which shows, you know, you got to pay attention to that Reddit, that they are
it's going places.
They are going to become aggressive about updating and supporting future devices. They'll have two years of upgrade support for future versions of Android and 6 months of broken screen protection. And they're also offering 50 gig of Google Drive storage in lieu of their previous Dropbox perk. So, JR, was this just interesting timing, or was it in a direct response to your article?
Well, I mean, you've got to wonder. I mean, I guess we'll leave that up to everyone's interpretation. If it's not a direct response, it is awfully coincidental.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, what matters is the end result, which is a good thing, however they got there. And it's not perfect. You know, right now they're limiting it to North American phones. So, you know, if you're in Europe, it doesn't necessarily apply to you. I don't know that it outright won't apply, but they're not giving you the guarantee at this point. But it's a first step. You know, this is something that hasn't happened before. Just like a year ago, the idea of a non-Nexus phone getting its major Android upgrade, you know, 3 weeks after the release drop before some Nexus phones, that's the kind of thing that I wrote about 2 years ago, and everyone laughed and said, yeah, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. People could have devices that aren't these heavy UI modifications and actually just have, like, meaningful software value additions that then they can upgrade quickly. And Motorola did that. So now, in my mind, this is just a first step, and hopefully it'll lead to more. It's the kind of thing, you know, HTC has been stepping up its game, not quite to the Moto level, but providing upgrades a lot more quickly. And once one company sets that standard, everyone else is measured by it. So if HTC is stepping up and saying, hey, we're going to do it for 2 years, hopefully it's just a matter of time before a couple other people come forward and do the same. Or if not, they're going to get criticized fairly for not doing that, or at least not guaranteeing it.
Yeah, I kind of get the same feeling about HTC coming out and doing this that I did when T-Mobile started doing all their kind of, you know, crazy, you know, yeah. Crazy. I don't mean crazy, but crazy in, yeah. In, you know, retrospect of what the rest of the competition is doing, right? They come out with no contract, yep. And they really push that, and they do all of these things that are just very against the norm. HTC kind of seems to be doing the same thing because they have a lot to lose right now, and they you know, no matter how good their hardware has been, HTC One by and large is a great device. Gina, you have it and swear by it. Everybody loved the HTC One, but HTC, for whatever reason, these things aren't working, so they kind of need to, you know, go balls to the wall and say, you know what, covered for 2 years on upgrades. Screen replacement for 6 months, which I think is fantastic.
I was going to say, yeah, never heard that before. Mm-hmm. And then moving from Dropbox to Google Drive is cool. But like, I think what's interesting is the point that you made, which is like, okay, what are the hot buttons amongst users? What are the things they're complaining about with their carriers or with their hardware manufacturers? And how can we, you know, basically give people what they want? It's interesting, though, because HTC is a hardware manufacturer and not a provider. And T-Mobile's doing bucking the contract thing, stuff like that. They're a service provider, mm-hmm. you know, so... But HTC coming at it from a hardware standpoint, where they're guaranteeing it, you know, these upgrades, but they've got to be dependent somewhat on whoever the carrier is, right? I mean, don't the upgrades go through the manufacturer? Do they come from Verizon or do they come from T-Mobile? How much involvement do the carrier have in approving the operating system on their, you know, on their network?
Yeah.
So it actually looked like this go-round, HTC missed it. It made a pretty bold promise for, you know, by its standards and by most Android upgrade standards that it was going to get KitKat out to all the U.S. models, you know, within January. And they came close, but didn't completely get there. And, you know, according to what they say, it's pretty much because of the carriers, which makes sense. So, yeah, they can push it. And, you know, we saw Motorola, by some amazing miracle, get a KitKat out on the Verizon Moto X first. So it can be done. But, yeah, that's a big challenge for them to keep any promise when they've got to deal with that factor that seems to be, at least to some degree, out of their control.
And that's the real one, because Verizon's notorious for being the quality control kind of, you know, obsessive, you know, and making sure that it works and doing all these tests and all stuff like that. You know, they've been very slow to move when it comes to moving fast around operating systems and devices. And so that will always be an obstacle. And I think, you know, Motorola probably had a little help behind them with Google at the time.
Sure.
But yeah.
Now we're kind of bouncing around the rundown here, but to go back a little bit, JR, you also had a great article just about grading the manufacturers on their upgrade to KitKat, and you kind of talked about that a little bit. I do find it interesting that Samsung, the OEM that everybody knows and, you know, many people love.
The leader, right?
The leader, they only just today announced what devices are getting KitKat. And we're now, 4 months away from KitKat's official release, basically.
Yeah, coming up on it.
And they got a D+. Man, I got a few of those when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure that HTC made that announcement because JR gave HTC a B-. So they just couldn't stand to deal with the B-. Also interesting that Motorola got an A+, compared to Google, which got the A-. I mean, you could argue they're one and the same, I guess, still. Or at least up until this point. I really like this. I think this is a really good buying guide for people who really care about what, you know, whether or not their device is going to get upgraded. Yeah. I think that this report card of yours, JR, is really useful.
Yeah, Google getting an A- is hysterical. That's what's great. Like,
it's
fair. You know, I mean, they have a high standard, and when you buy a Nexus phone or a tablet, you expect it to be near instant, and it usually is. And this time, by most other standards, the Nexus devices still did really well. They got them quickly, but, you know, people were waiting a month close to it, and Moto devices were getting them before. So by Google's standards and by the highest standards, and if we're looking at this kind of on a little bit of a curve, they didn't quite get up at the top of the class this go round, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh, no, I do believe it. And like you said, you were fair. I mean, I was waiting on my Nexus. I mean, we're not talking phones, but on my Nexus 7. It was weeks before I got it on my Nexus 7. So
I also found it interesting that Asus, however they're saying it this month, got an F. And, you know, for the longest time, I don't know, like a year and a half ago, somewhere right around there, Asus was just kind of that name of, like, you know, bucking the trend, doing these great things and everything. And it turns out with updates, not doing so hot these days.
Yeah, that was a big surprise to me, because they've really generally been one of the leaders. I mean, of course, they're more tablets than phones, so it's a little less legwork. They don't have the carriers like we were talking about. But they've always been really good about coming out and saying, we're going to update, you know, these devices and whatever, quarter one and following through. But this go around, they really dropped the ball. They haven't said much of anything. And, you know, I touched base with them, I guess it was around December when I first started doing the upgrade list, where I kind of keep track of progress. And they said, a couple of weeks, we should have specifics about which devices and when. And really just nothing since then. I don't know what happened. But, that one was a surprise. And just to be clear, too, because we were talking about Samsung's grade. So this came out like a week ago, before Samsung had really said much of anything. You know, they did a little bit of Note 3 KitKat and like parts of Europe and Asia, but not anything widespread, and they hadn't said a word about really any device, what their plans were, who was getting it, when, what country might get it, what device would get it, what wouldn't. And to be fair, I am going to revisit this again in another few months. This is kind of like early first quarter, you know, how they're doing so far. Maybe in the long run, Samsung will be slow, but they'll do better. We'll see. But they certainly didn't get off to a very good start, nor did most of the manufacturers really this go round.
It's a great ongoing segment. You will always have stuff to write about in this topic. I think before we move on, I think what I realize out of this, and I think what's frustrating, not to everybody, because not everybody in the general consumer kind of bucket cares about updates, even though they, you know, arguably they probably should. But is the fact that if you have a 2-year device, if you buy a device and, you know, you're probably going to upgrade it in 2 years, or we are, or whatever, and it takes Samsung 5 months, 6 months for an update to hit a device after it's already been out 8 months, 9 months, you're at the year and a half mark when you've just basically wasted like 5-6 months of enjoying that device that is only on buy, you know, on a certain amount of time anyways before it's going to be old and you're going to want to get rid of it. It's just wasted time. And but I understand that, you know, easy for me to say that. I'm not the one working with carriers and trying to update right. these devices and everything.
And
but
having,
as a user, that sucks.
And having custom UIs and custom software and a platform, you know, yeah. Samsung having their, what is their life gear, what do they call right. all of a sudden the Samsung life stuff. You know, they've got to make sure it all works, and you got to wait on Google to release the, you know, the development stuff. And, I mean, it's got to be a logistical nightmare, and I can understand. And the thing is that not, to your point, not every person is like me. Where I ran out and bought a Nexus 5 immediately because I wanted it, you know, mm-hmm. like you know, and right. you know, and we have reason to because we're talking about it. But the average user is sitting around saying, "What is this thing I'm reading about? I hear it's so great. I'm not going to see it for 6 months." Like, mm-hmm. that, you know, so there. I think
6 months is a long time.
It's a very long time. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to make yeah. it. Yeah,
half a year.
We see it almost every cycle here, where. Yeah. Right when Google announces some new version, then Sony or Samsung or whoever is like, "We're rolling out the last one to you today," and it's like, "Okay, exciting." Yay.
Suddenly, I'm not excited. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, oddly, we haven't heard anything. I don't know what's going on with Google I/O, but if theoretically Google I/O were to happen in like May or June, it's not inconceivable that by the time if they, I mean, maybe it won't be a new letter release, but like a, you know, point up release, yeah. that'll come out right around when some of these big flagship devices start getting Android 4.4. So it may happen again.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so in other news, our pal Ron Amadio over at Ars Technica had an interesting article detailing some new information that was basically leaked documents from around the Gingerbread era that detailed what the terms were for OEMs that they had to agree to, in order to play Google's Android game. Some are positing, of course, that this is further indication of how not open Android is because there are rules and there's regulations and all that kind of stuff around it. I actually took to Google Plus, and it's a pretty good conversation on Google Plus, good thread. I encourage you to go read through it because a lot of people had some really great things to say. But in doing that, I kind of was able to solidify how I feel about this whole open and, you know, open in air quotes Android thing. And here's what it is. And believe me, I'm probably not the first person to come to it, but I think this kind of illustrates it. There's open Android, which is AOSP. That's what's open. And then there's Google's Android, which you can kind of think of kind of like TouchWiz is to Samsung,
yes,
essentially,
absolutely.
Right? There's
yeah.
Google's Android, which is Google's version, which includes all of their Google services, et cetera, all that stuff in tow.
Which is their competitive advantage.
Which is their competitive yep. advantage, what differentiates it from AOSP. Now, granted, that does not mean that the open AOSP version does not have its issues. It's not updated, you know, in the security perspective necessarily at the same rate or in the same ways that Google's Android is. But I don't know. I don't know. Did you have a chance to read this? What do you think about it?
You know, I think we've been dancing around this topic, I think, for the last couple of months.
It always comes up. Yeah.
I mean, it does come up. And I think you hit the nail on the head. And kind of what I added to it is that there is the open Android stuff, which works, which does the stuff. But the money, at least in Google's point of view, is on their layer and their competitive advantage. Same thing for Samsung, same thing for everybody. And so, you know, it's nice to hear you come to this conclusion and read through your post and say that.
I was typing it, I was like, yeah. no, I'm not the only person to feel this way. But for some reason, it was a light bulb that went off of my head.
And that's got to happen. So, but for me, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, and that's why, you know, like I'm not surprised by it and I'm not frustrated by it because I know it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Jason, I totally agree with you. And I really like how you kind of laid it out. And I realized that part of the reason why this conversation happens is partially my fault, or our fault. Like one of your commenters said, well, stop calling the Google experience, the Android Google experience, pure Android, right? Because that's not pure Android. You know, AOSP is pure Android. And I've definitely been guilty of that. I have equated Android with AOSP plus GMS. And it's not that, right? I mean, AOSP plus GMS.
Yeah.
So I think from here on in, and call me out on this, please, you two and our listeners, I'm not going to call it pure Android anime. I'm going to say the Google experience, the Google's Android, mm-hmm. To refer to those two layers because they're different. One is proprietary and closed and requires licensing deals and certifications and tests for manufacturers to distribute it. And one of it is open source. And I think that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, enough said there.
All right. Apparently. There you go.
So
you need a hug or
No, I'm good. I mean, I need a hug, but not for that.
After the show. We'll,
okay. Yeah. All right, we'll talk.
You didn't get clobbered over the head with clubs after you posted that?
No, thankfully I did not.
No, yeah.
Pitchforks.
I just suffered from a sore throat and flu.
It's a good conversation to have.
Someone infected you remotely, if that was your...
That's what happened. You're right. Oh, that's horrible.
I think most people who follow Android and know the ins and outs of it, and you know, and I too definitely do agree with what you said. It's they're two separate things, and Gina makes a good point. We do kind of convolute them and talk about them together. That's pure Android versus pure Google Android or what have you. A guy, Russell Hawley, who writes for geek.com, I pulled up this tweet that he wrote that really summed it up very succinctly. One sentence: Android's open, but if you want to play in Google sandbox, you have to follow their rules. That's pretty much it. Android itself, yeah, like you said, it's there. But the Google apps, the Google stuff on top of it, which most, you know, manufacturers want to have, then because it includes all the services, all the apps, all that, then, yeah, you're going to have to follow Google's guidelines. It's two sides of a similar, confusing thing. But I think most people are following your line of thought on that.
It's too bad that Google makes services that everybody wants, right?
It's too bad.
Right.
Yeah, if they want, it's
shocking that they want
terrible.
To make that they want to make money.
Dare they?
Who knew?
Now, what about Glass, Gina? Any interesting things in the Glass world that I should read so that I don't tick people off when I'm wearing these?
Can you read it with your glass?
Let's just say I never thought I would see the word glasshole appear on an official Google site, but it has happened. Google published a Glass Explorer etiquette document with some suggested do's and suggested don'ts. Do's are pretty predictable, exactly what you'd think. You know, Google saying, hey, explore your world and use voice commands. Of course, you know, ask for permission before you take photos or video, which is kind of, you know, common sense advice. The don'ts. This is interesting. Don't glass out, Google says. And they're saying that glass is meant for short bursts of information. And if you're just staring off into your screen wearing glass, you know, don't read War and Peace on glass, they say.
Oh, no, that sounds like the worst thing in the world right there.
Yeah, seriously.
I couldn't even imagine.
Google also says don't wear glass and expect to be ignored. They're saying, hey, you know, people are going to ask you questions about it. They're going to want to try it. Expect that. And then finally, Google says, do not be creepy or rude, a.k.a. a glass hole, while wearing glass.
Good for them.
Creepy or rude, so, what's the point? That's all takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah. I like that Google has sort of claimed the term and been like, like, don't do this.
Can't beat them, join them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that guy's just because the hat, the way he's wearing the hat. I mean, the glass is one thing, but that hat, pull it down. Pull the broom down.
You know he's a D-bag. He didn't need the glass to show you that.
Yeah, this feels, you know, this is one of those things that Google does eventually where they come out with it and you're like, okay, I'm surprised you didn't do this sooner. Probably would have been a good thing, I suppose. A lot of it's just kind of common, you know, common sense stuff. But don't read War and Peace on this tiny little screen.
I'd like to propose, can we somehow go back in time and create a similar etiquette list for smartphones, like 5-10 years ago, because I think we kind of missed that step. But
oh yeah,
makes sense here. We just need to go back and do the same thing for smartphones before people got in their current habits.
Oh yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Or you know what's actually a good reminder though, JR, is hanging out with people not like us. Because I've done that recently where I've left San Francisco and I've been in other cities and I've been with non-tech people and I'm doing my typical every 2 minutes, you know, checking my phone, and I was with them and someone's like, what's going on? Is everything all right? I was like, yeah, why? Like, you keep checking your phone. I'm like, oh, it's just a little nervous habit we all have in the tech world. It's just
Yes.
I remember back in like 07, Merlin Mann and I were hanging out, and he said he wanted to make an app that recorded the number that you just check your phone. It's a check your phone app. When you take your phone out, you just tap it, and it would count how many times you check your phone. Like, that's all I would do. Because even back then, you know, 6 years ago, it was a problem. So anyway.
Get a leaderboard, you know, make it like a new Fitbit competition thing. Forget exercise. I can win at this.
Forget Flappy Bird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've checked my phone. it should just be running underneath. Kind of similar to your app from last week. You turn it on at the beginning of a dinner.
Knows, yep.
And then every time you actually do pull out your phone to do something, it logs it and tells
you. You know, which is sad because I was at a dinner and I recognized I was... You see, now we're derailing. I'm apologizing.
It's okay.
I was at a dinner and I recognized I was checking my phone a lot, and I realized because I really didn't want to be there and I was looking for something else to entertain me.
This is the thing. thing. We've talked about this on Twig quite a bit. It's like, and Jeff always says, you know, if you're having a conversation that's so boring that there might be something more entertaining on your phone, then you absolutely have every right to look at your phone or to scan the environment and look for something more interesting. I mean, like, we're sort of programmed to do this as, you know, cavemen and cavewomen, hunters and gatherers, right? Like, we're always sort of looking for the next thing. I mean, I realized just recently I was sort of in a conversation in a circle of nerds, in a conversation having like eye-to-eye contact with someone. In the middle of it, I just picked up my took my phone out and looked down at it, and I thought to myself, like, oh, that was really rude. But, you know, he just sort of shifted his eyes over. Like, I realized everyone standing in the circle were sort of pulling out their phones and putting them away, you know, checking in and checking out of the conversation, and that just seemed sort of normal, which I'm not saying it's good.
It's awful. And what triggered it for me was that, like, I was in a conversation, I was at a bar with some people, and we're talking, and I was getting some text messages, and so going through the conversation, and I've gotten really good at looking at a text message while trying to stay engaged in the conversation, and then step away and answer quickly and step back in. But then I realized after like a half an hour, I was just looking at Instagram, and I was just like, oh, all right, clearly I need to leave. It's like, clearly this is not cool, and it's rude, and I know it's rude, and it's not the kind of person I want to be. So
well, then you just need to get yourself one of these.
There you go. And then it'll show me Instagram and no one will know.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just pop it up on the screen for you and no one will ever know.
Yeah.
So. But you'll be wearing these.
Yeah.
All right.
I just did it. I just checked my phone. Why?
See, you can. It's a compulsion. Right, believe me. It's a compulsion that is shared by many. Let's take a break and thank one of our sponsors of this episode. This is my first time talking to you about Scotty Vest. I know Ron talked all about Scotty Vest last week. Scotty Vest.
But I'm pro them.
Yes.
It wasn't on last week, but I'm very pro Scotty Vest.
Yes. Well, that is awesome because I've been wearing my Scotty Vest. The studio, by the way, gets really, really cold. So I put on the Scotty Vest. I have a nice hoodie. It's the ultimate hoodie, the ultimate micro fleece hoodie. It has 11 pockets. Basically, Scotty Vest, they engineer their clothing, right? It's not just, you know, designed. It's engineered. It's clothing meant for people like you. Like me, people who have a lot of gadgets, a lot of technology, and they need a place to store it. You don't want to wear a fanny pack. You don't want to, you know, bring a backpack along with you everywhere you go. They actually engineer their jackets and their clothing so that you can hide these gadgets inside your clothing. We're fans of Scotty Vest because we carry a lot of stuff, and I'm sure you do too. There's always a place, a pocket somewhere in these Scotty Vests where you can stash your gear. You can, like, for example, with this, so I have my glass here, right? And I could have, it's just taking pictures while I have it in my hands here. I could actually, if I had a battery pack in my Scotty Vest, there are little slots that feed in. I don't know if you can see this, but there's a little slot right there that I could feed the cable right through. And, you know, it gets integrated into the jacket, essentially. So it drops right down there where there's a battery pack inside. And, you know, I'm life casting. I'm doing what? No big deal. I'm just wearing my glass, recording you, but telling you about it first. So Scotty Vest makes all this stuff really, really easy. And it's just perfect for people like us. It's more than just vests. They make hoodies, jackets, shirts, pants, other items for men, women, basically to carry your gadgets and gear in style. They've included a patented personal area network. That's PAN, a PAN, for those keeping note, to keep your wires under control. Perfect for battery packs, like I said, headphones, especially at the gym. They're engineered with tons of hidden pockets that are essential. You know, keeping your cash, keeping your keys locked to you, important documents, especially when you travel, you know, keeping hold of your, you know, of your important documents when you're traveling. That's always a hard thing to do. So, tons of hidden pockets. They actually have, thanks for showing these off, guys. They have pockets within pockets. Look, pockets, pockets. Who's got the pockets?
So many pockets. I'm still finding pockets.
They're nested pockets.
For like 3 days, I keep discovering new pockets. It's pretty awesome.
And every once in a while, when you get a new Scotty Vest, they'll have things hidden in those pockets to kind of give you an idea of like what you could put there. Like, oh, yeah, this says sunglasses, but I can also put business cards in there. And they're just kind of out of the way. They're there for when you need them because I never seem to have business cards on me when I need them. They actually have a pickpocket guarantee, and they will reimburse you. Scotty Vest will reimburse you up to $1,000 if you're pickpocketed while wearing your Scotty Vest. Over 10 million pockets sold and counting. Now, in celebration of its 13th anniversary, Scotty Vest is running a 40% off sale for 14 of their best-selling items now through February 24th. Sale items include men's, women's trenches, Scotty Vest's new puffer jackets, which I actually have a puffer jacket. It's really, really comfy. Fleece 7.0, cardigans, bamboo polos, performance t-shirts, and convertible travel pants, which can quickly change from full-length pants to shorts. So here's what you can do. Visit scottevest.com/twit to check out the great Scotty Vest products that you can buy for 40% off during the sale. Be sure to use the promo code TWIT13. That's TWIT13 at checkout. And that's for their 13th anniversary sale. You only have until 9 p.m. Mountain Time on February 24th to take advantage of this incredible sale. If you're watching or listening to this late and missed the sale, be sure to check them out anyways and use the code. Scott Jordan from Scotty Vest said he would put up another great deal just for the Twit Army. So definitely check it out, even if it's past that date of, what was it, February 24th. They feature a different sale item daily for 20% off. That's scottevest.com/twit. And use the code TWIT13 at checkout. And hey, we thank you, Scotty Vest. I thank you for keeping me warm all day, and for your support of Twit.
I love it. This
workout clothes.
This is the workout, the shirt. Mm-hmm. I go running, and mm-hmm. I constantly have a fear of my phone coming out of my pocket in my shorts. And so now I put it in this little pocket down here, and I run the headphones through here, and I'm a running machine.
Yeah,
seriously, this is the great. This is when I got this package. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, so they even have these like little pockets that allow you to control your phone, even though you know, I didn't. You know, I have things in here. What do I have in here?
Oh,
I have a Nexus. I didn't know a Nexus in there.
Apparently,
wait a minute. I have a Ring Central phone.
Apparently, your Scotty Vest is also a time machine.
I've got my keys. They're strapped to me.
Any snack mix?
How did I miss the snack mix?
The screen cleaner attached to the pocket inside of my Molly jacket. I was like, oh, okay, that's awesome.
I don't know. Who put this I'm Watch in there? This must be Tony. Tony did that. All right, there you go. Scotty Vest, thank you for your support. You guys are awesome. All right, let's get into hardware.
So Mobile World Congress is coming, and you know what that means. Rumors and leaks.
I know. Hardware section pretty much filled with nothing but rumors. One actual thing.
But, you can set your watch by it or your phone by it, that there are going to be predictions and leaks and things like that. And the first up is Samsung. And supposedly Samsung is going to be releasing or introducing to the world the Galaxy S5. And they're going to the rumor is that they're going to be integrating a fingerprint scanning device within the home button. So basically, it will detect your fingerprint via swiping motion, and it can also detect moisture as well, which they say will make it more secure. We'll see. And it can reportedly direct up to eight different fingerprints, detect up to eight different fingerprints, and each fingerprint can be assigned a different task upon unlocking. So the rumor is that that's going to come out at Mobile World Congress. In another rumor about Samsung and Mobile World Congress is that we might also get the next iteration of Galaxy Gear, but get this, it's not going to run Android. It's going to run Tizen. So says this rumor. Considering that Samsung is a development partner in the Tizen kind of alliance and development, and the fact that Tizen kind of scales down a little easier than Android, Samsung might be coming out saying, maybe Android isn't the best for your smartwatch. Maybe it should be running Tizen and connect with your Android running smartphone. So we'll find out. Samsung's presentation is scheduled for, when is that going to be? That is going to be soon.
I think it's Monday.
Yeah, I think it's Monday, and it's going to be they're bringing Broadway to Barcelona.
So. Barcelona.
Let's hope not. Let's hope there's no Broadway this time.
But so what do we think? Fingerprint scanning? Good. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm expecting
to
see
the Apple lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, immediately, you're like, oh, fingerprint scanner embedded in the home button. Right. Where have I seen this before?
Yeah, but it's clear that everyone's going to go that direction.
But they're not going with the push your thumb into it and wait. They're going for the swipe.
It's a swipe.
So there's that. And each fingerprint up to eight. I'm not sure why there isn't 10. I guess because it's not a thumbprint scanner; it's a fingerprint scanner.
Right.
Each of them can do a different thing.
So does that mean that it will detect? I mean, aren't my fingerprints all? So is that eight people, or is that eight of my fingers? And so if I swipe with my index left finger, it will launch the phone, but my index right finger will launch the music app.
That's
wacky.
You could have a finger.
You could use another appendage if you wanted.
Yeah, you probably could use your toe. Yeah. That's for your really, really important documents.
It detects
that's
moisture. Like, it detects moisture, too.
This is stupid. I'm sorry. This is dumb. This is, like, worse than Face Unlock. Well, I don't know. Face Unlock, at least, I was sort of excited about when I heard it. This is straight up, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should, in my opinion.
Did you guys ever use the
HTC One Max? I don't know that many people did.
Oh, boy.
It had a similar kind of thing. Yeah. His fingerprint scanner was in a weird place because it was a giant phone. It was on the back. But it had a similar kind of thing. You swiped, and you could assign different fingers to different shortcuts.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
It was kind of cool to do once, and then I think everybody would – I mean, at least when I used the phone for a few weeks, I tried it within the first day. I was like, I've got to turn this off. It was annoying to do. Sometimes you have to do a couple tries.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, using different fingers, it just
– I
kind of agree with Gina on this. I mean, yeah. Maybe Samsung's implementation will bring something new to it that'll change our minds. But my first take of
it. That take of it that you had is exactly the same take we had with Face Unlock. Where you set it up, you tried it, you're like, oh, okay, and I'm not going to use this. You know?
Yeah, well, everyone new to Android is like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing ever. I got my brother his first, it was his second, but his first modern Android phone. He got a Nexus 4 2 years ago. About a year ago is when he got it. And, yeah, he set it up. He's like, no, this is awesome. I'm going to use it all the time. Yeah, sure enough, like 3 weeks later, turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Great in theory.
Yeah, not to sound – I don't want to tick off our listeners because, of course, this is an Android show. But not to sound like an Apple fangirl, which, you know, whatever. I have complicated feelings about Apple. But there's a – and yes, this is a marketing video. But there's a part of their marketing video they play at the developer conference, and there's a line that – it's something like, behind every yes, there's 1,000 no's, right? So it's like them saying, like, we left out – things and only implemented the best features, right? And of course, we've seen lots of problems with that. You know, not having copy and paste for as long as iOS did was sort of crazy and unusable in my opinion. But this is the thing that I feel like Android manufacturers don't know how to do, is to say no. It's like, you know, we can do this, so we should do this because it's something different than someone else did. But it just kind of feels desperate. It just feels like you don't have a product designer, a product developer, a manager who's
or an edit button.
Right. You don't have somebody with good editing skills.
Yeah, it's like, we can do it, so let's throw it in there, and maybe you'll use 1 out of 1,000 features. But, yeah, I mean, their problem is exactly what you just said. They don't know when to put something in for a reason as opposed to just because they can.
Yet they're right up.
Because they've got something new, that's out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're right up there at top.
Yeah, let's be honest. So you know they're going to feature that in ads, and it's going to look really cool on TV.
And that's what's important.
Well, actually, it might not look real cool on TV because a lot of times their ads are really darn cheesy. So the feature might, the ad might just turn you away. I completely agree with that. What else might we see at Mobile World Congress?
Well, HTC sent out invites for its next flagship unveiling. That will be on March 25th.
Oh, that won't be Mobile World Congress.
And of course, EVLeaks or EVLeaks. On Twitter has a couple of extra details. EVLeaks is pretty good at this stuff. So first we've got a picture of the device in the case, which Brian has up on screen for us there. It doesn't look like much. It looks like a phone in a case, the front of it anyway. But secondly, we've got confirmation that the new device will have two camera lenses on the back. Much like that, there's a leaked photo from earlier this month that shows these two camera lenses. Why would you want two camera lenses on the back of your phone? Techno Buffalo explains that the sensors would let you quickly snap a picture and then later refocus the image. So you take the picture with both sensors and then do, deeper, richer editing after the fact. And third, what we've called the HTC M8 will actually be called the all-new HTC One. This is what EVLeaks says. And it'll be available in gray, silver, and gold colors. So it looks like we'll have to wait till March 25th to find out if all of this is true. But can I just say, this double camera lens thing?
No.
Again. Like, this is – it just feels like
gimmick.
This problem – it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
And this problem of, like – pictures being crappy on Android, it needs to be solved with software. And just one good camera lens. Like, it just feels like killing a fly with a sledgehammer. It's like, let's just throw in a couple more lenses because we can. And then, you know, focus later, snap now. I just want to take a picture and have it focused the first time. That's it.
Clearly,
I'm really cranky tonight. Sorry.
I love it.
The snow's getting to you, Gina, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Clearly, it can be done. Because our friends over at Apple have a very nice camera, camera on the latest iPhone, and like clearly it's coming up with some great photos, and it's not impossible. But you're right, they throw gimmick after gimmick and that sort of thing. I'm more concerned at a product called the All New One, which is just
Oh
no, just don't do that.
That's one of those things that just
like
is
the
not.
All new one?
There's no way that's going to stick. You're not going to see headlines the All New One for 2 years.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because then what happens when the new one comes out?
The newest new one.
The new one. It's
this one's all new.
The newer than the all new one.
Yeah.
What will next year's be? That's the question.
Yes, exactly.
All new one.
I don't know. Lytro's kind of neat, right?
Yeah.
Lytro, focus after the fact, although...
Yeah, but I don't trust it still. I mean, Gina has a point. Just get a good lens and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Just do it right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to spend all that time on your hardware and developing some feature, don't put it into a new one when the old one still needs work. Nice. Although HTC One has great photos, right, Gina?
Yeah, it does. I'm really happy with them. I mean, look, I think about light and you know. And there are a couple times when I take a few just to make sure that one is in focus. Yeah. There have been a couple times when I've gotten like the background really sharp and my daughter's face, you know, blurred. But for the most part, I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I'm convinced I'm an awful photographer, and I wonder if it's because of the hardware, not because or my skills. I can never tell. I don't know. I keep getting new cameras and new phones, and I'm like, this will do it. This will make me a better photographer, and it doesn't.
The phones don't give you very granular control. And even when they do, like some apps do, I feel like sometimes they're just kind of fudging it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Sure,
we'll give you more brightness. But they're not actually opening the aperture. They're just like in the software, like, turning up the brightness. So we'll see.
Well, that said, ever since I got my Nexus 5, I don't have that blue shade that my Nexus 4 put over
all the pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
an improvement.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm still pretty happy with the HDR Plus mode on the Nexus 5. Well, speaking of LG Nexus 5, and this is what I meant to throw to you as far as Mobile World Congress was concerned. I got them back mixed up here. LG went ahead and unveiled their next device ahead of Mobile World Congress. It's the LG Pro 20 is the Pro 2. With 5.9-inch 1080p display, bigger than the Galaxy Note 3 at 5.7 inches. So they got that over the Galaxy Note 3. The bezel is pretty small, actually. And I do like this as a trend. Like, not that bezels need to be small, but the fact that you're able to get larger screen with a smaller device body generally, although I'm not sure this device necessarily falls in that category because it's just big to begin with. But more and more companies are kind of, you know, being able to use a similar size hardware design and still get a larger screen to fit in it by, you know, minimizing the size of the bezel. I think that's a good trend. I like that.
I agree.
Quad core Snapdragon 800, 3 gigs of RAM, removable 3200 milliamp hour battery. There's a 13 megapixel rear facing camera that's capable of both recording 4K video as well as 120 frame per second HD video, though not at the same time. So you can't do 4K video at 120 frames per second, which would be pretty sweet. Running 4.4 KitKat, and of course the rear power controls are still there.
Is that a thumbprint? Is that a fingerprint scanner switch too?
No,
that would have been nice.
No,
next year.
Oh yeah. Once Samsung's is a hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It also has an interesting feature, knock on. It's a tap to wake feature. You use a knock code, and there's actually a video on this.
I got this video.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the screen's off, and you just. You tap in your own kind of thing, and it turns it on, right? Now, watch this. You can do the same, but at a smaller kind of portion, it'll still recognize it.
So it's kind of
interesting. So you don't have to do it in a four different, you know, like in this example, you wouldn't have to do it in four precise parts of the screen. Yeah. You just kind of have to have the same kind of ratio.
Yeah, no, because my friends always like to hack into my phone because you could see in the smudge, where my unlock code is. And so that could be a way to solve it. But that is wacky.
No, of course.
I just hope it works.
Yeah.
I haven't used this phone, the new one, obviously, but I've used a couple different LG phones that have had a knock-on, the first generation knock-on, which is just tap-tap to turn it on or off. And it sounds really nice in theory, but I've tried it. What was the G Flex? I think I had like three different carrier versions of those to test, and then the G2 before it, and I've had a few different ones of those over the months. It never works consistently for me, and that kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, because, you know, if you have to do a tap-tap, tap, tap. By the time you do it twice, you're just like, screw it. I'm going to push the power button. Yeah. So, I don't know. The first generation wasn't quite there. I'm apprehensive about taking it to this other level of, like, tapping in a weird pattern. I hope it works well. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to the secret knock security unlock where you can do.
That's what I, yeah.
What's the password?
Right, it's less on, like, a certain pattern, and it's more just a sound.
Right, yeah, exactly. Or like a song that you hit it in the right angle.
Or you whistle to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlocks.
Yep.
Fortunately, that would be pretty insecure.
Right, it would be. Or you get an RFID chip implanted in your hand, and when you get close to the phone, it just turns on.
There you go.
That's what you want to do.
There you go. No price, carrier, or availability.
You can't get it.
You know, they announced it ahead of Mobile World Congress. Maybe we'll hear more about it at Mobile World Congress.
No price, no carrier, no availability.
It's
hope
this
you like
thing.
Our innovations.
Yes.
Buy it today.
Yes.
Don't miss out.
Act now and wait.
Operators are standing by.
So a couple episodes ago, we had a lot of fun with the Google search kind of contacts ability for you to make it easier to call home or call your loved ones. And we got an anonymous voicemail about that topic, which I have not heard yet, so I'm very curious what they have to say.
Hey, guys. You talked about Android or Google putting a feature in for being able to say, you know, call mums or call dad, whatever. And then you talked about not doing that because you didn't want to say that. I actually put that in there as mum and dad because that way if somebody picks up one of my devices, they can contact them. If I just put my mom's name in there or my dad's name in there, they're not going to be able to distinguish anything from anything else. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a bizarre way of thinking, but that way they can get in contact with somebody who the device might belong to. Anyway, we'll show back.
In case of an emergency.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You know,
hey, guys. This is Alex from...
Yeah,
hey,
Alex. New SoundCloud.
I forgot. This voicemail totally reminded me that a few years back, I lost my phone in a cab. It fell out of my pocket in Austin. I was at South by Southwest, of course, right? And, you know, whatever. I was lost and I bought a new one or whatever. But a few months later, someone picked up the cabbie found the phone. It must have been stuck in the car somewhere. But like went through and saw mom, called my mother and was like, there's a phone and you're listed as mom, and I'm in Austin. My mom was like, oh yeah, Gina went to Austin and I got my phone back. This is years and years ago, but it actually is like a good point of reference. Someone's going to call someone listed as mom in your phone if they're trying to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my mother doesn't answer the phone. So there you go.
Does she have an answering machine?
She turns the cell phone off when she's not using it to save the battery.
My mom had a really hard time accepting the fact that she had to like constantly charge her cell phone. Like she was like, I don't understand. What do you mean? You do this every night? Like she was really put off by that.
It's 2014. Also, I once lost my phone in a cab in New York City. And when I got home, I called the number and someone speaking Russian answered. And when I said, you have my phone, he started laughing and then hung up. So those are two very different stories. So there you go.
Did he leave any voicemails for your mother, though?
That's no, he didn't. Yeah, no, he didn't. I hope he didn't. Jeez.
The funniest part to me about the call mom, call dad thing, I think, and I don't remember the scope of it, but I'm pretty sure there was like cousin you could put in and like brother. I like those. I want to just program random people as like cousin or like, you know, I'm going to program my brother in as call girlfriend just to mess with my wife. Okay, Google, call girlfriend. See what happens. I feel like we need to exploit that a little bit.
Well, what's sad for me is that I thought about programming Call My Wife to be the Wings place two blocks up from my house because I call that so much that maybe my Wings takeout is my new significant other. So
I think you're onto something there.
I think I am too.
No, neither of you are onto anything. No. Sorry.
Voice of reason over there.
Yeah, no fun Gina. At
all. All right, let's thank another sponsor of today's episode. We have Gazelle with us today, and we love Gazelle. Gazelle is always awesome, and it makes perfect sense for the show because we have a lot of gadgets. I'm sure you have a lot of gadgets. You're probably keeping them stored in your Scotty Vest jacket. Well, when you're ready to take them out of your Scotty Vest jacket and sell them because you're not using them anymore, that's when you go to gazelle.com. Are you thinking about getting a new iPad, new iPhone, a new Android device, maybe the HTC M8? Or whatever it ends up being called, the brand new, all new one, whatever that ends up being.
The all new one.
You can lock in a price today on the device that you're willing to get rid of. You go to Gazelle. It's Gazelle, GAZELLE.com right now. And when you get your new one, after you've locked in that price, you have the 30 days. So once you get your new one, your offer is still good. You have 30 days of which to get that new device and then send them the device that you already got the offer for. They make selling your used gadgets fast and simple. That's GAZELLE.com. You find your item. You tell them the condition. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads. They'll take those off your hands. Get a risk-free offer for your gadgets. And it's free shipping. They pay for the shipping. And you're going to get paid fast by cash, check, PayPal, or you'll get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. So go to gazelle.com right now. Get an offer for your iPhone, your iPad, your Nexus 5, whatever you happen to have that you're not using anymore, though you're probably using your Nexus 5. I know I am. You'll get paid fast in cash. Payment is fast, usually within a few days of the item being received. It's risk-free, and offers are good for 30 days, like I said, giving you time to transfer all that data and set up your new device. And they'll actually wipe the data for free from your device if you don't take that data off yourself. They're trustworthy. They can do it. They know how to do it safely and securely. Gazelle has paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. That's because it's easy. They have that free shipping, fast processing, and just a ton of devices, iPhone 5, Samsung Galaxy S4. Just go through their site. They make it super easy to pick through and find exactly what you have that you want to get rid of and turn it into cash. What's your iPhone worth? Take a minute. Go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your device may lose value the longer you wait. And we thank Gazelle for their continued support of All About Android. Thank you, guys. All right. How about some apps? There we go. Smooth drop.
I was just going to say the smooth sound of apps.
Yep. So I'm pretty sick of Flappy Bird at this point. Are you?
I got a 61 as my high so far.
Whoa, so you're still playing it?
I'm still playing it. It's a fun game.
Oh, okay.
Haters need to stop hating. It was fun. 61. Is that any good? I have no idea if that's any good.
I think that's pretty darn good.
I think that's pretty good, yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the guy took it away. He's doing you a favor, right?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, he's saving
you. And I'll be
you.
Honest, I think I'm addicted.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I think the guy was onto something because I can't stop playing.
He knows something we don't.
I know.
Well, if you happen to be a developer and you're creating a game or a Twitter app or a flashlight app that has the word Flappy in the title,
don't.
You're going to have a bad day. Word on the street is that Google is rejecting new app submissions with the word Flappy in the title to curb the amount of knockoff titles that Google sees as spam. Here's the problem in the developer of Flappy Bird. Look, every developer, you have obviously full reign to do with your app whatever you want to do. What the developer was trying to do, Dome, I believe is his name, was to save people from their addiction to Flappy Bird.
Yes.
But what's happened in its wake is it's created all of these bad knockoffs and potentially malware-infested APKs for people claiming to trade the official APK for the app that's no longer available through the legitimate means. So, it was like replacing one bad thing with another in some ways. I don't know.
All I know is I need to scrap my whole project called Flappy Bill Paying. It's going to be a whole bill paying app.
And that name.
Yeah. That was gold.
It was gold.
I paid
places.
For that domain, let me tell you.
And Gina's to do Flappy.
Flappy do.
Flappy up.
Flappy do. Oh. Yeah.
Flappy well, the up. Good news is you can still offer it on Tizen. I don't think they've banned it yet.
That's true. You'll be able to play it on your Galaxy Gear 2.
Right. There you go.
Any day now. So, yeah, I guess Google's flagging it as spam. There you go.
Oh, well.
Makes sense. Well.
Yeah, I agree. What else in the apps, Gina?
We are going to see lots more new Chromecast apps. I'm kind of excited about this. Chromecast support is trickling out to an app near you. Basically, Google offered support for Chromecast in the SDK a while ago, a few weeks ago, but kind of asked developers to hold up until devices got out the new Play services that could hook into that to those apps. And the apps are coming out. There's a Reddit thread up right now that's tracking apps that support the casting feature, and those are kind of slowly trickling out. And if you want to cast your whole Android screen up to the TV, you might not need to wait very long. Kosh Dutta, who we know, AllCast developer, amongst other things, posted a video showing how he has figured out how to cast his device screen to the Chromecast. A little bit of latency, 30 milliseconds latency, but it seems obvious that this is going to happen. So I don't think I told you guys about this last week on the show, but I was watching the episode that I missed. And I was on the train and I was flipping through, I was trying to get the orientation to lock and I was flipping through settings. If you go into settings display on Android, the latest version of Android right now, there is a cast screen option. Okay. I tapped on it. It didn't detect devices near me, even though I've got, you know, a Chromecast on my network.
Oh yeah, you're
apparently
right.
It was originally a Miracast hook, but I think that Google is converting it over to a Chromecast hook. And I think Kosh figured out how to hack it and get it to work. I think this is going to happen pretty quick.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty that quickly, language changed after KitKat came out. I think I want to say it was the 4.4.1 that changed it to cast in there in the settings. It randomly showed up, and not a lot of people caught that. But yeah, I wonder what that's. So there's got to be something more than just the language. There's got to be a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's definitely going to be a hook in a Chromecast, right? I mean, because if you think about it, Chromecast, you can cast any tab in your Chrome browser. Why couldn't you just cast your whole Android screen, right? I mean, it would make a lot of sense, particularly for things like watching games. I mean, Coach's demo video there, you see him playing Flappy Bird, sorry. Uh-huh. But, you know, that's something that you'd want to kind of show off and, put out there in addition to your photos and videos and the things that AllCast can do. So this is good. I'm kind of excited. I'm excited to see more Chromecast apps. I checked out the Reddit thread. I'll be honest. There wasn't any major app that jumped out at me yet, but this is getting kind of updated as we go. Oh, and there's also in the Play Store, there's a Chromecast section now. You go to the app section under categories, there's a Chromecast section, and it's listing apps for your Chromecast.
Oh,
and I think this is actually pretty new. I mean, all the sort of usual suspects are there, HBO Go, Pandora, Hulu, Netflix, all the ones that we've known about already, but I'm assuming that they'll be, you know, some of the newer stuff will be featured here. I'm seeing Plex, Songsa, Real Player, Cloud, Revision 3, Beyond Pod. So
we need Twit Pro in there.
Yeah, we do.
In a bad way.
Pocket Casts.
Yeah, Pocket Casts.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I can't wait to see that that castability hit more and more apps. But you're right. The Reddit thread isn't filled with a lot of standouts right now, but it's early days. So if you want to check in and see what else is added that isn't making it to the feature on the Play Store page, that's one way to check.
Mm-hmm. Just had a conversation this weekend about Chromecast versus Google TV and the fate of Google TV and is it going to be Chromecast? And it kind of made me want to ditch my Google TV for a week and just use Chromecast and see how it affect my viewing habits. But I'm lazy.
I love Chromecast.
I do. I like it too. But where was I? We're talking about taking it on the road and keeping it in your bag. And
yes.
Yeah, was that last week's show or no?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I'm pretty itinerant. Our move has been crazy, and I've had the Chromecast. That's the only thing I've had with me. All my other set top boxes are in storage in San Diego still.
Yeah.
And I really haven't missed very much else.
Yeah. So there you go. Cool. So if you are a Google Play Music user, we got some finally much needed updates to the application that are rolling out, which is good to see. Android Police has the APK download for it, but the update eventually will bring you such great things as interface to manage your devices via the app.
Oh, finally. My goodness.
Exactly.
Oh,
there's a 10-device limit on Google Play Music of what you can authorize the devices to play your music on. For many of you, if you just have a phone, this isn't a real problem. But if you're like us, where you've got tablets and things coming in and out, I've got Google TV, you never want to be stuck out in the field with your app and you're on a device that's not authorized and can't unauthorize another device. Now you can do it within the app. They've also rolled out the ability to make the streaming radio offline in an offline mode. So that's pretty cool if you like the radio. They've also added the ability to refresh music. So in case you have uploaded new music, it's not showing up on your app, you can refresh it. They fixed some Chromecast stuff. They added a Play Next button. They moved the button for the cast button to a little more intuitive kind of spot along the bottom in the bottom UI where we're actually making actions.
Although that cast button's always in the top on all the other apps. So
yeah. Is this the beginning of? I mean, like, what's more important? Where is it on the other apps, or where is it in the context of the app you're using?
Yeah, I don't know.
That. Yeah. So anyway, it seems
to be a recurring theme that you see, like.
Yeah. But some valuable updates to the application. So if you're a Google Play Music user like I am, you should definitely go check that out. So,
offline radio, that's a big deal. And the devices managing your devices on your device. When Stacy would get, a new phone or whatever, she'd be out with our daughters and, we want to hear this CD. And so she'd try and listen to it. And, maxed out at 10.
Yep.
So she'd have to get in touch with me and I'd have to find a browser, or
it's maddening.
Do it through the browser on the phone and remove. And, it was just pain in the butt.
Yeah. Huge pain in the butt.
Yeah. First world problem.
First world problem.
Okay.
Let's thank our next sponsor, 99 Designs, for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Are you dreaming about the perfect logo or website design, but you don't know where to get started? Are you worried about budgets? Don't worry, 99 Designs can help. 99 Designs is the world's largest graphic design marketplace, and it makes it easy to get a design that you love. Just go to the website, tell them about the design you need, and pick a price package that works for you. Then the fun really begins. Designers from around the globe will submit awesome designs, and you'll give feedback. Within a week, you'll pick your favorite and be the proud owner of a gorgeous new design. With over 270,000 designers at your fingertips, there's no limit to what you can get designed. You can boost your brand's visibility with a t-shirt or car wrap design, or drive more traffic with a sleek new banner ad or landing page. Projects just start at $199, and your happiness is always 100% guaranteed. Visit 99designs.com/AAA and get a $99 power pack of services for free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs' marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. Visit 99designs.com/AAA, and we thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android.
Thank you, 99 Designs.
I was going to use them for my new Flappy My Bills app, but no. Yeah.
Flappy
do
Bills.
It.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to.
Flappy Designs.
Well, come up with a new name. Although I'm really curious to know what designs would come up for Flappy My Bills or whatever that was going to be called. I don't know.
You don't
want to
know.
Yeah, I kind of don't. The second that came out of my mouth, I was like, maybe I don't want to see this.
Flappy My Bills.
All right, let's jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Boom.
So last week we had a little problem with the poll. Our good friends at Straw Poll were having some issues.
Oh, right.
So
yes,
we
saw about that on Twitter.
So we moved to an alternate solution with Google Docs, which was awesome. Brian and Chad and some of the other geniuses here at Twit pulled it together.
No kidding.
And after watching it today, I really have to question the sanctity of this poll this week because as of this morning, it was pretty much neck and neck. And then as of the show beginning, I was clearly ahead, and now here we are, and now Brian is clearly ahead.
I don't know. Both you and Brian kind of took to the social networks to get your army on board.
Oh, that ain't right. That is not
right.
Those are the tools that you can do.
So, Ron, I took a picture of the poll before the show started, and I'll pull it up here in a sec. You were definitely in the lead there for a while.
So what happened, Brian? What changed?
I don't know. It's really strange.
I don't know. Look at new guy.
I'm not sure Brian did this. I have a feeling your friends in India didn't come through for you, Rob.
So this is just the screenshot I took. But yeah, like right before the show started, I checked it. And it was at 668 responses. And I was at 262. And Ron was at 248. And then
now boom.
Well, hang on, because what happened was that earlier in the day, it was pretty even and you were ahead. And admittedly, I posted the Google Plus because I had a lot of people on Google Plus saying they liked it. I was like, make sure you let everyone know. And I should have taken a screenshot, but right before the show started, I was embarrassingly ahead to the point where I was like, oh, I'm going to have to explain this.
And apparently... Apparently not.
Yeah, so there we go.
Well,
but everybody really liked Koji, and they really liked Final Fantasy, and they liked, some people like Basecamp. So
I will say at least one thing that we get.
Thanks, Ron.
Hey, 165 votes for Basecamp. That's pretty significant.
I saw that Ron's was winning, so I made sure to wear the Koji. I wore a Koji shirt today.
I will say I got a ton of great response. In fact, the developer behind Koji got in touch and said that I did a better product demo than he does. And he's the CEO of the company. But yeah, they were very pleased at that. So I'm glad so many people did enjoy it, even though the poll has been compromised. I'm looking forward to straw poll. That's all I'm saying.
You never know what you're going to get. I think your army.
I think
India,
it was suspicious that I didn't have access to the behind of the poll, like the actual data. I'm just saying. I think that's strange.
You think somebody went in there and actually was like,
I have theories.
Pulled
I have
a theories. War games and was like, yep. I'm changing this D to an A minus.
I know somebody here. Somebody on the AA team's got a lot to prove.
It's true.
It was their first app.
There you go. How a $15.99 app can win in the arena? I don't know.
Hey, price does not dictate. We've learned this.
$15.
Although that's pretty darn expensive.
Yep. Hampered.
It is strange that you can pick an app and then go hit the back button and do it again.
You see, now I never did that though. I went to the people.
Well, there you go.
Is that what you did, Brian?
Maybe for a little bit.
You see, I would have just gone to the spreadsheet behind the poll and just changed the number. Just do it once.
Wait a minute. Are you
Wait,
admitting
was
that you did this?
I was just testing to see if that was possible.
Well, that was.
And I may have tested 20 or 30 times. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Oh, I don't know, man. I went to the people, but at least I didn't vote for myself numerous times.
We're gonna have to talk about this off air.
I know. I think now we need to have a meeting. I think HR needs to be involved. I think that
does this mean I don't get a trophy?
No, there's no trophies in the arena.
Oh no.
It's just guilt, apparently.
It's just pride, satisfaction, and guilt. That's all it is.
Exactly. All right. Well, as your punishment, you don't get to review an app this week.
Oh, Jason.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so I mean, we have to follow the rules of the arena, and so
I have to go.
That would be Gina.
Gina goes first. Yeah.
Go first.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll put you up first. There you go.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Okay, so my app pick this week it's a very, very simple thing, but it's something that certain people in certain situations will really want. The app is called Night Mode, and it's free, and it does something pretty straightforward. It darkens your screen way past what the system will allow. Okay, so two situations where this actually comes in handy. One, the movie theater. Okay. Ooh. You got a babysitter, you worried about the kid, whatever, you don't want to bust your phone out, start checking your text messages and bothering everybody around you. You've got night mode installed. You can make your screen so dark that it won't bother anybody sitting near you. The other scenario, there you go.
Oh, yeah, you can't even see it. I can see it, but
oh,
you
wow,
can't see
yeah.
it.
Really, really, dark. Really dark.
Get darker, baby.
Yeah.
Get darker, baby. Yep, see, you can kind of hardly see it there.
Yeah, I sleep with someone who is extremely sensitive to light, which basically means that I can't use my phone while laying in bed, like to read a book or something like that, because screen's way too bright. Not with night mode. You can make it so dark that you can read totally in the dark without really disturbing anybody else. One warning about night mode, if you run it with any other screen dimmer apps, like I also use an app called Twilight, which reduces blue light. Well, I had Twilight running, and then I tried out night mode, and I slid the slider so far to the left that I could no longer see my screen at all.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to, like, hard reboot in order to get it back. So turn off any other sort of screen dimming apps that you have. But, yes, night mode will make your screen really, really, really dark. So if you're in a really dark place, like a theater, or you want to read in bed or something, that's what you want. It's got a few settings there. Minimum brightness, you can disable the button backlight, show notifications. It runs in your notification shades. You can turn it off and on there. It doesn't need very many permissions. It's totally free. Check it out. You can text in the movie theater now.
No. No, you can't. You can...
What have you done?
No.
We just talked about the etiquette.
Oh, man.
Smartphone etiquette.
The arena is spiraling out of control. That's all I'm saying. Next thing you know, it will be Flappy Bird.
So interrupting conversation to look at your phone is okay, but in the movie theater, not okay.
I got to draw the line of texting in the movie theater. I got to draw the line there. There is no scenario where that's okay. I was at the movies on Sunday. I was seeing the Lego Movie. Which was awesome, right? Yeah. And my phone was going crazy for like a half an hour. No joke. It was just buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And I reached in my pocket and I turned my ringer off and I ignored it until the movie finished. So there you go.
Yeah.
Must have been a good movie.
Yeah, that's
odd, you, sir.
Thank you, JR. Thank you. Turns out it was the group chat between my sister and my brother-in-law, and they were just talking amongst themselves. It wasn't anything important. So
still, you wanted to check.
It always is that.
I thought about it. Yeah. But anyway.
There you go. That is night mode.
Night mode.
Night mode.
Ron.
All right.
You're up next.
I'm up. I don't know. Are we going to live demo this? Do we have time to? Or is this, well, yeah. This is the kind of thing?
Yeah, let's do it. We have time.
Okay. So I rarely pick photo apps because, as we discussed earlier, I'm not a good photographer. But then I came across this application called GroupPic, and I was like, oh, that's neat. Let's do that. So basically what GroupPic is I can walk you through the tutorial here in the app, and that's probably the best way to show you, and then we can try it here to see if it works. But have you ever been in a scenario where there are three of you or four of you or two of you or just a group of people and you want to get a nice picture, but someone's got to take the picture?
Oh, yeah. And
some people don't mind asking a stranger to take the photo, but then I don't really like doing that, so I'd rather go without the photo than give my device to somebody else or whatever. With GroupPic, it allows you to take two photos and then merge them into one so the person who is taking the original photo can be in the photo together. Right? It's pretty cool.
All right.
So this is the tutorial, and I'll show you guys how it goes. Basically, what you do is if you have a group scenario, here's a lovely group of, three people sitting out on a park. Yeah. You take a picture, but you leave some space for the person taking the picture, and then you take the picture. And then you swap the camera, all right? And then you take a second picture. And what the app does is it gives you a light overlay of the first picture so you can line things up. And then you take the picture. And then you mark who took each picture. So it says, who were the photographers? So you say, okay, that was the photographer, that was the photographer. And then it will stitch the photos together and make a photo that looks like all of you are together.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then you can share it, and there are filters and all that sort of stuff. So that's GroupPic. Do we want to try it now?
Let's try it. Of course.
Okay, so I will get up first, and I'll take a picture of you and Gina and my chair.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go away.
I'm gonna look disgustingly at you, Ron. What angle do I want to take? Yeah.
Wait, no, the other way.
Okay. Are you? Well, maybe if you, like, whatever. It's fine. Okay, I'm gonna be really disgusted with you, Ron.
Me too.
I feel like you guys are looking at me. It's making me uncomfortable.
Okay. I almost started laughing in the middle of my disgust.
All right. So now, if everyone sees, can you take my product shot? Don't talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
Brian? Well, so you see, there's the photo, and there's the outline of Jason
everything
and
looks
Gina.
Looks all outlined and stuff.
So there
okay,
you go.
I'll try and not touch a button here.
Yeah, don't turn it off. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you guys are looking at me angry.
All right. So the problem is, where were you? Let's see here. Okay. Lining it up. It's a little challenging. I can't tell. Oh, I think maybe. Oh, there we go. Okay. Something tells me I'm going to be horribly off on this, but I'm just going to try it.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So the photo's been taken. And so now it wants to know, mark the photographer seen in this picture. So I'm going to mark Jason. And you just do it by tapping him. Now mark the photographer seen in this picture. That's right there.
Good copy. I appreciate good, like, waiting copy.
Oh.
And there's the photo.
Nice. Hey. Really?
It's surprisingly
good.
Well.
Yeah, look at that.
It's as if we were ever sitting next to each other on this set.
Right?
That never happens.
It never happens. That's actually, I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, that actually works.
Considering we demoed this before the show and
it
didn't work. I'm very pleased right now. So there you go. So
share that on Google Plus.
Yeah, so I'm going to share that on Google Plus. Yeah. Unfortunately, I need to unlock the app. So and you need to buy it in order to share it, which is kind of annoying. But because it's free, but it lets you sample it.
I see.
Yeah.
So okay.
But I'm going to buy it and then I'll share it and then everybody will go. It's only 99¢.
Oh,
so it's the kind of thing that, like, once you use it, like, honestly, once it worked, I'm all about 99¢. Sure, there you go.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
I just bought it, and so now I will share it on Google Plus and everybody can see. What group pick is like. So it's free to start, 99¢ to play with, and it's also got filters and all the Instagram-y kind of stuff that you like and that sort of thing. But it's pretty neat, and so if you're shy to give your device to someone else or someone's not around, you can get that group picture and you can be in the picture. So group pick.
Love it. That's awesome. I honestly thought I was going to throw it off because I didn't pay attention to where you were standing. So finding that perfect kind of parallax position and everything, but it did a really good job.
What I also like is if you open up the gallery, not only does it keep track of all the photos you took when you're trying to piece them all together, so you can see our earlier attempt that didn't work, but it also gives you the sample photos.
Oh, so you can play with it. You can practice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you don't have any friends, you can practice.
Yep. So there you go. So
awesome.
All right, cool.
All right, cool.
So that is Groupic.
Groupic, and it's spelled GROOPIC.
By the way, when I put this on Google Plus, you're going to love this photo because it's kind of awesome. Look at Gina's face. You can't really see because of the brightness, but trust me. Here, I'm going to post it, and Brian, you can pull it up later on. So, all right.
All right, awesome. So let's see here. JR, you are up. No, wait. What?
Yeah, JR is up.
Oh, okay. You were the winner. You were supposed to go last. Whatever.
Well, Brian was the winner, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
just
he's
qualified.
He's not doing an app.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'll go. And JR, you can go after me because your app is pretty awesome. Let's see here. Okay. So mine is called Polyfauna. And basically, if you're a fan of Radiohead, you'll like it. And if you're not, you probably won't. There you go. So basically, what is Polyfauna? It's kind of an experimental app with music and stuff. It's based on the track called Bloom from the King of Limbs album. And basically, here, let me turn up the volume. We didn't test this before the show here with volume and stuff. Let's see here. Is the brightness up? Essentially, it's kind of similar to that Motorola video, I can't remember what it was called, was animated by Pixar, where you move around your phone to kind of track the action that's happening on the screen and everything. It's kind of an interactive, kind of visual thing. I don't think night mode is on. No, I've got my little controls down there.
It's very dark.
It is very dark. Hold on, let me make sure night mode isn't on here.
Whoops.
Night mode is running.
See, I told you.
Stop.
My app is sabotaging all the other demos.
Your app is giving me a demo fail. There we go. Okay, so it's the kind of thing where you look around, and it's hard to show off because I have a fixed camera, but you can kind of follow the action, right? And you can kind of draw these little characters on the screen and evolve through them, essentially. This is a really hard one to describe, essentially. But it works really well if you just kind of, you know, find yourself in a comfortable position and follow the action and turn around in circles and play with it. The music is very atmospheric, obviously. But you can create all these things on the screen, and sometimes they do things that you might expect, and sometimes they just create, like, a large blob, and obviously it's kind of maneuvering through. It's not the kind of thing that's very easy to show off on a demo and have you go, oh, I get it. I get it. I completely get it. But it's a great kind of free, app to download something that you probably haven't seen before. Throw on headphones, pan around the whole atmosphere and listen to music. And I don't know. I like this kind of stuff. There isn't a whole lot more to it than that. It's a Radiohead project, and if you like Radiohead, you're probably going to enjoy playing around with this. And even if you don't, it kind of creates all of these scenes at random anyways, so it's always a little bit different. But
well, you know, Jason, who else did a review on this?
Oh, I didn't know this. Great. Sarah. Thanks, Sarah.
Five. Whoops. If I get the player to work right.
Jeez.
Well, she has B-roll that we can use, so.
Oh, great. Mm. Yeah, use Sarah's B-roll.
She was prepared, I guess.
I have the app running. You hear me?
Did you see Brian had B-roll for his app last time? Brian's Mr. B-roll, apparently.
Jeez.
I didn't have much of a choice.
They call him Mr. B-roll.
Quit doing that.
Brian B-roll. Yeah. So Sarah did a review on it, too.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Thank you, jerk.
Sorry.
I bet that app would be especially cool if you were intoxicated in one form or another. I suspect that the value of it increases.
Yeah, probably so. I'm having a really hard time showing it off right now because the angle that you have to be in to follow it is very strange.
Look at Sarah's face.
Definitely too intoxicated in some form right there, I can tell, Sarah. No, and I would completely agree, JR. I'm going to have to go home and drink some beers, apparently, and play around with it. Polyfauna, just do a search for it, install it, play around with it for 30 seconds, and maybe it'll catch you like it did me. There you go. All right, so JR, you have an app that I've heard a lot about this over the past week or two, and I keep meaning to check it out. I'm happy that you're reviewing it so I can take a look at it.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. It came out like a week or so ago, and it's simple, but it just does one thing really well. It's called Musei, Muzei, and it is by, I'm probably going to butcher his name, I apologize to him in advance, Roman Nurik. He's actually an Android developer advocate at Google. He's the same guy who did Dash Clock, which a lot of people, especially Android enthusiasts, know. Great little app. And so this one's actually a live wallpaper, but it's not what you would typically think of live wallpaper. It doesn't move. It doesn't jiggle. It doesn't do anything like that. What it does is it gives you a different picture as your background every day. And so by default, it's paintings. Interestingly, his fiance, the developer's fiance, is an art teacher, and she actually curates and selects the artwork. So every night, I just looked, mine switched over about half an hour ago in the middle of the show. You just find a new painting there. It started out with Starry Night. Today, let's see, it went to Paul Cézanne. The Bathers is the one that's on there now. But so, yeah, it just automatically switches to a different one. You can adjust the level of blur and how dim or not dimmed it is so that it makes it easier to see your icons and widgets on top of the image. But then at any time while you're on your home screen, you can double tap on it and it'll bring it into full focus. And also another cool little touch, every time it gives you a new painting, it's very non-invasive. You don't see a notification, but if you pull down on your notification panel, it'll show you a little thing that tells you who the artist is, when it was made. You could tap on it to learn more. You can share it with people. Just kind of a really simple, cool thing. And what is especially interesting about it is that if art isn't your cup of tea, there are a lot of other things you can do with it. By default, there's a native option that you can have it circle through your own photos on your device. But like Dash Clock, it's open source and expandable. So there are already a bunch of these third-party plugins starting to show up in the Play Store, and they let you use it with a bunch of other different photo services. There are ones for like Flickr, Tumblr, Instagram, even things like you could get a plugin that'll have it show the National Geographic picture of the day and rotate every day, images of space from NASA. There's one out there that will actually even change your wallpaper to match album artwork anytime you're playing music and then go back to whatever it was before. So it's simple. And it's one of those things that just kind of makes you smile. Like every night it's like, oh, that's cool. My background has changed. What is this? And you find out. So whether it's art, space, nature, whatever your thing is, simple thing that does it really well. And it's also free, so can't go wrong with that.
Love it.
It's very cool.
Awesome.
Nice.
I'm so bad at changing my desktop image too. So that's great.
I tend to get one that I stick with, you know, for a while, but yeah, mixing it up would be nice. I like the album art extension idea. That's pretty cool. So
yeah, that's one I've been meaning to play with. And I'm the same way. I usually find one I like and then stick with it for a really, really long time.
Yep.
But yes, it's a refreshing thing. Like every night I kind of look at it and I don't know, it seems to be around like 8 or 9 or something. It switches and I look down and I'm like, oh, that's nice. It's one of those little simple delight moments that you're like, oh, this looks cool, different today. So yeah, nice little app there.
Cool.
Interesting.
You could even download Musei and then go to Google Plus and take the photo I took with GroupPic and make that your background.
Yes.
Brian, that's a cue to you to take
just 1 second.
Take the photo.
There we go.
So if you're not convinced how great Grubrick is, look at that photo. You cannot, I dare you to look for the seam. Those are two photos. I think it's right along my face. You see, because my face is a little more, you see that jagged line on the left side of my face, on the right side of my face?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I think it's right there. Yeah. But still, zoom out and you cannot tell.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at the wire, like, on the desk.
Yeah.
It's totally seamless.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty good.
What is that face I am making? I don't know. I was trying to do disgusted.
You nailed it.
I guess so.
Yeah, that works. Yep.
So there you go.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Excellent stuff. So let's see here. Would you like to vote? Have you just not had enough voting in your life? Well, then you can. Go to AAAPoll.com/149. AAAPoll.com/149. Let us know which is your favorite app from this week's arena. Is it Night Mode, Grubrick, Polyfauna, or Musée?
Looks like Musée is running away with it.
Yep. It's pretty, pretty great app.
I don't know. Every time I've done this show with you guys, I start out ahead, and then the next day, never in the top. So
welcome to my world.
I'm not putting too much on the early results. Yeah, welcome. You know a thing or two about that.
Welcome to my world, JR. Yeah. Yeah, every night before you go to bed, you check your wallpaper. I check the poll.
So, yep.
There you go.
What you got to do is get the live wallpaper of the poll.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh,
yeah.
There's got to be someone out there who can throw that together. And
yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Yes. We'll just throw that out there like a grenade and see who comes up with it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Well, so Musée, there we go. All right, fine. Fine.
There it is. All right, fine. Musée. Yeah.
Fine. Thanks, Brian. Thank you. I blame you for the whole, you know, it was already done.
There you go.
No, actually, I don't. Musée and all the apps this week are pretty fantastic. So.
Yeah, it's a good batch.
JR, thank you so much for joining us once again. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, thanks. Pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell people where they can find your work, where they can find all the stuff you're working on. If there's anything awesome you're working on right now that you want to unveil, go for it.
I will keep it all top secret.
Okay, I figured.
No, nothing enormous at the moment. Of course, we've got MWC coming up. It's going to be a big month, big few months with Android, as everybody watching and listening to the show knows. The best thing, if you just go to my own personal website, jrstart.com, links to all my latest stories there. You can find all my various social media profiles, Google+, Twitter, Facebook, whatever floats your boat, and come say hello. Hang out for a while.
Awesome stuff. Thank you again. Gina, what you got going on these days?
Starting up, working on this little company, a little product called ThinkUp, thinkup.com. Mm-hmm. We are so close to launching public signups. If you want to find out when that happens, just pop your email onto our list and you'll be one of the first to know. I also co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that's on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. So you should come on by. We talk some Android and some general Google and some cloud and Facebook and Twitter and all those things. And everything else I'm up to, you can check out at my nameplate site. It's ginatrapani.org.
Fantastic. And you, Ron.
Yes, you can find that lovely photo that I just took with Grubrick that you can vote for in the arena up on Google+ at plus.google.com/plusRonRichards. Or you can find me at about.me/RonXO, which got links to all my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that fun stuff. And by day, I'm there slinging comic books over at imagecomics.com. And Brian, you can cut away from the photo now.
It was a dramatic zoom.
Yeah.
Mm. That was pretty dramatic. Speaking of Brian,
huh?
What about you?
Where's your B-roll now, Brian?
I don't have any B-roll for this. I'm doing improv right now. You can find me as a co-host on Know How more recently. And, yeah, my G+. I shamelessly plugged Final Fantasy on there, but
Brian, I know.
Beat me, so.
We know.
Yeah.
We saw the results of that and your... Well, whatever that was called.
I was just testing it out. I blame Straw Poll for the DDoS that hit him. So.
kick them all or down.
Yeah, right.
Way to go, Brian.
Kick that free service while it's down.
Yeah.
You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. I'm on Twitter, Jason Howell, Google Plus, all over the places like that. Next week, we will have Marques Brownlee back on the show. It's been almost a year, if not a little bit longer, since he was on last. So cool. Super excited to invite him back on the show. But as for this week, that's it. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/AAA. All of our past shows and our show notes, everything are kept there. Leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're also on Google Plus. We have a community there with a lot of people pitching in on the community. It's always fun to check in on that. As well as Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. And what else? Well, YouTube, iTunes, just check for us. We're on the internet. Just do a Google search. You'll find it. You can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We will see you next week on another episode of All About Android.